What I want to show you today is how to pray a big prayer. How to pray a prayer that gets God's power released out of heaven on earth in the life of the person about whom you're praying.
We all know someone who is desperately in need of prayer. A friend, a family member, a co-worker, those in leadership positions can all benefit from our prayers. But do you know how to pray an effective prayer? One that will release God's power into the situation? In the coming moments here on In Touch, Charles Stanley gives specific instruction on how to pray a life-changing prayer. Today, we once again look at the Apostle Paul's outline for prayer found in Colossians chapter 1. If you want to positively affect someone through prayer, stay with us and discover the secret to a life-changing prayer. Here's Charles Stanley.
The most powerful thing that anybody can ever do for anybody else on the face of this earth is to pray for them. Because through prayer, you and I can touch anybody, anywhere on the face of this earth, regardless of their circumstances. And that the power is not in the praying itself, but in the release that God gives as the result of that prayer, the release of His power that takes place in the life of the person for whom we are praying. So let's begin with his first petition. And he says, beginning in verse 9 now, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask." Now there are two words here for prayer. The word pray is sort of the general word that the focus is on God. It's a general request we're making. But when he says ask, the implication is for something specific. And so the attention is on the thing asked. Listen, we pray for you and to ask. And this is the first request that we ought to pray for the other person. We pray, first of all, that they may know the will of God. So the first request that we ought to make is simply this: Lord, that we might be filled, listen, filled, running over, overflowing with the absolute assurance that we know the will of God in this precise, exact situation. All right? The second request, and you see that gives us direction for our life. Second request is in verse 10. And that is that we might walk worthy of our name, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Look, if you will, the third request. He says, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. Now watch this. You and I will bear some type of fruit. We will bear either good fruit by the life that we live, or we'll bear evil fruit. But we're going to bear one of the two. Now, to bear fruit implies involvement, activity, something going on, service is going on. Let me ask you a question. In the years that you've lived, as you look behind you, what has your life borne? What's in the traces of where you've walked so far in life? You say, I don't like to think about that. My friend, you need to think about it. We all need to think about it. He says, my prayer for you is that you may bear fruit in every good work. That is, that your life, listen, that your life would be productive. That because you are here, there is a difference. How we ought to pray that prayer for each other. Lord, that I might be fruitful in every good work. So what do we have? First of all, he says we ought to pray that God would give direction to that life. Secondly, he speaks of the quality of that life. Thirdly, the investment of that life. And now watch this one. He says in the latter part of verse 10, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Now let me show you something. I believe the goal of every person's life, the goal that ought to be the pinnacle of all of the goals, is the goal of knowing God. Listen, can you tell me a mightier prayer to pray for your children, your husband, your wife, than, Lord, that my son may know you, may he may increase in wisdom and knowledge of who you are, that my daughter may understand who you are, that my wife may know you. God, that I may know you as I've never known you before. Not knowing facts about God. Listen, don't get caught up on that one. I'm not talking about reading the scripture, memorizing scriptures, and knowing some facts about God. I'm talking about something else. He says increasing, growing in your knowledge. Now listen. The only way to know Him is to get in this book. But now watch this. Get in the book to find out what He says, and then to experience the truth. That's the way you know God. And when God shows you something, you obey Him. Listen, why should God keep heaping knowledge and heaping knowledge and heaping knowledge into a mind that is not going to share it? You want to learn to know God? Then my friend, listen, if you want to learn to know God, if you want to deepen your understanding, you want to know the mind of God, you want to have the mind of God living and breathing and pulsating in your life, which is the highest knowledge any human being can ever perceive of. Listen, I'll tell you how to start. It's real simple. Obey God at this moment, at the very next thing He tells you to do. Obey Him right then without any question. Take one step forward. That's obedience to God. Obey Him again. Obey Him again. As you and I obey Him in the simple little things we know to do, you know what God does? Then we begin to get the overflow. God begins to reveal. Listen, He will reveal Himself. He will unveil Himself. He will give us spiritual understanding, spiritual knowledge. We will begin to see God on a deeper level, on a higher level. We will begin to see in precise ways how God operates in our life. We'll catch the principles. They'll become a part of our lifestyle. You know what's going to happen? It is only when you and I begin to know Him on a far higher level than most people living that living the Christian life becomes the most exciting adventure in the world. You know why? Because, friend, listen. Everything that all of man knows for all time in history and the billions of people who've ever lived, everybody who's ever inhabited this earth put all their knowledge together, and I'll tell you what it's like. It's like holding up a postage stamp and its thickness against the whole vast, incomparable universe out there, and we know about the postage stamp thickness against the vast, incomparable, immeasurable universe. You know what that means? You'll never get bored with God. No way. And listen, the more you understand Him, the more you won't understand Him. You see, you grow in your knowledge of God by doing what? Oh, listen, two things, not just obeying Him, obeying what He told you to do next. Because, listen, if you expect God to give you some great understanding of who He is when you haven't even stepped off first base doing what He told you to do last, He's not going to do it. If I could only pray one prayer for my children, that's what I'd pray. Lord, give them an increasing understanding, O God, of who You are. Because I know that that's the goal of life. And that ought to be the goal of all of our prayer. All right, let's move on. First of all, he says, getting direction for my life by knowing fully the will of God. Secondly, the quality of my life, living a life worthy of Him. Thirdly, a wise investment of my life, fruitful in every good work. And fourthly, the goal, increasing in knowledge. And then listen, if you will, what he says. Verse 11, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Now, leave off joyously, because that goes to the next phrase. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Now the word strengthened here is the same word we get our word dunamis or dynamite. That is, we have God's power, and He says it twice here, with all power according to His glorious might. And that third word there for power, kratos, is the word used for God's power, only for God's power, which means perfect power. His incomparable, infinite, supernatural power. Now listen to what he says. What would happen if you and I prayed for someone else? Lord, I pray, let's say for example, if I'm praying for a friend. I pray for my friend. Lord, that You would give them direction for their life, to know Your will. The quality of their life to weigh like the life of Christ. Not only that, but Lord, that they would invest their life, not spend it. Lord, the goal of their life would be to know You. And fourthly, Lord, that their life would be lived, listen, not in the human, frail, feeble weakness of flesh, but Lord, that that life may be lived in the supernatural power of God, which is released because of our relationship to Jesus Christ, released through the Holy Spirit in us and through us to do what? Listen. How can there be weight in my life if the supernatural power of God is not real in my life? That which gives weight to life is the power of God exercised through our conversation, our conduct, and our character. Everything that happens finds its ultimate energy in the source of Almighty God. He's at the center of this universe, not man. What would happen if you and I prayed every day for anybody and somebody? Lord, today I want my friend to live in your power. Today I want him to be strengthened with your supernatural power, according to your glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Now, why do you put those phrases in there? Here's the reason. Because Paul knew those Colossian Christians, well, they lived in a heathen society, just like we do. Now, watch this. What would happen if you prayed for someone, and you prayed for God's supernatural power to be released in their life? Listen, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. The word steadfastness here is the word in the Greek hypomone, which means to bear up under the weight and the pressure of a given situation and not to give in regardless of what's going on. And my friend, all of us are going through difficulties and heartaches in our life, every single one of us. I don't care who you're praying for, they're going through difficulties and heartaches. But suppose on your bended knee you read that passage to God every day and called that fellow, that gal by name, or your son, your daughter, your wife, your husband, and you prayed, Lord, I want to pray for my son today, Lord, that you'll strengthen him with all, I want you to strengthen him with your supernatural power through the Holy Spirit, according to your glorious power, your supernatural power, in order that as the precious come on him today, Lord, that you're going to equip him through your strength to bear up on that. That he won't give in to temptation. That he won't give in to pressure. He won't give in to the pressure of the world. God, just guide him to bear up under that. Through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, who is capable of facing all things and protecting us in them. What a great prayer. Because, my friend, if you walk down the center of God's will, you're going to catch it from all kinds of people. If your life bears the quality of the life of Jesus Christ, you think the world's going to take that setting down? Never. Do you think if you walk in the center of the Lord's will for your life, and you begin to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan's going to leave you alone? He's going to kick up his heels. You think if your prayer and you begin to hunger and thirst after knowing God on a deep, intimate, beautiful level, that Satan's going to just ignore that? When you're doing the one and the last thing in the world he wants you to do is to know who God really is. My friend, that's why we need supernatural power in our life. Because, my friend, the truth is we're in a battle. We're in a battle every day. And the reason some folks don't even feel it, they don't even know the bullets are passing by them. You know why? Because they're on the side of the enemy. Oh, they're believers, but they've crossed the lines. In fact, if you look at them real clearly, you can't tell what kind of uniform they have on. It's sort of gray. It could be green or it could be brown. That's not what we're talking about. He says, I want you to pray for that someone, that the power of the Holy Spirit, listen, the power of the Holy Spirit within that person's life would equip them to face any given situation, and they would be able to bear up under it victoriously, triumphantly. I mean, they may come out bloody and stoned, but they're coming out victoriously. Well, listen to his request. It's the last word of verse 11 and then verse 12. Joyously, listen, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now watch this. Watch it carefully. You're praying for someone else. You're praying that God, watch this, praying that God would give them direction for their life to know his will. Secondly, praying that their life, that they would walk worthy, the quality of their life would be in keeping with the Christian life. Thirdly, that they may be fruitful in their life, invest their life and not spend it. Fourthly, the goal of their life to know the Lord God. And fifthly, that they would experience God's supernatural power in their life. Now, the last request is the motivation. Listen, he says that they may joyously give thanks. What motivates us? Listen, isn't this enough of motivation? He says, the last petition, that prayer for your friend or your family is this. Lord, that he or she may joyously just been talking about trials and suffering. Joyously give thanks. For what? Now look what he says. Three things. He used the aorist tense in all three of these, which means something has happened in the past and completed. Giving thanks to the Father. Listen, who has done what? Watch this. God the Father has qualified. Listen, He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints. Now, in a race, they're qualifying races. They race to see who's going to qualify in their positions in the big race. You know what he's saying? He's saying, my friend, that you and I already have our names on the qualifying sheet. We've already qualified. He says you and I have already qualified to do what? To share in the inheritance that God Almighty is preparing for His children. You say, well now, you mean to tell me that I've lived a life good enough so far to have qualified? That's exactly what I do not mean. Because that's not what qualifies us. You know what qualifies you and me to share in the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ that He's provided for us? That which qualifies us to share in that inheritance is the fact that God the Father sent His only begotten Son to the cross, and He shed His blood in the atoning, substitutionary, sacrificial death of His Son Jesus Christ, and all of us who accepted Him as our Savior, Lord, and Master, have yielded our lives to Him. He says that qualified us. We were justified, reconciled, sanctified. We have been redeemed. Our sins have been forgiven. We have been qualified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what's qualified us. Listen, that ought to motivate us to do what? To find the will of God. Live a life that has weight in it. Be fruit-bearing. Know the Lord God and to walk in His power. We don't need any more motivation than that. The fact that we have already been rendered and called qualified to share in His inheritance. And secondly, he says, we have been what? We have already been delivered from the domain of darkness. Do you know where you were before you were saved? Friend, listen, you may have thought you were doing pretty well, but he says you were enslaved and imprisoned in the domain of satanic darkness. That is, he had you locked in the chains of darkness. You see, the problem is the lost man doesn't have any earthly idea what kind of a mess he's in. And the truth is this. He says if you're not saved, you're walking around because you are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And God says if you took a reading on your location, here's what you'd find out. You are imprisoned in the domain of darkness, and the darkness is one of the indications. That's why you don't know God, because your mind has been darkened to spiritual things. He says to all of us who are believers, he says, listen, you want something to motivate you. He says you pray for that friend for whom you're interceding. Pray that he may joyously give thanks. Joyously remember the fact that he's been qualified by Jesus, delivered from the domain of darkness, and is today what? Living and resting in the kingdom of his beloved Son. Here's what I've discovered. When a person learns to praise the Lord and to give thanks to God for what God has done in their life and is doing, it is amazing how they're motivated to walk in the Spirit, loving obedience, hungering for God, wanting to know Him better. If you ever think that anything that you've ever done has merited anything from Almighty God, my friend, you just need to take a second look. Because everything that you and I have ever done in the flesh is nothing but pure ashes. It weighs about as much as a little ash, big as a pinhead, floating through the air. Doesn't weigh much. Now let me ask you a question. What do you suppose would happen in your life if some dedicated friend, a family member, began to pray this for you every day? Lord, I want him to know the will of God for his life today. Give him direction. I want him to walk worthy of his calling, that his life may weigh something, the quality of his life. Lord, I want him to be fruitful in every good work he attempts today. I want his life to be productive, wise, and invested. Lord, I want him to increase in knowledge of you and understanding of you. Oh, make that the goal of his life. Lord, that he might walk in the power, the supernatural power of God. Let that be the energy of his life. And Lord, ever remembering that you've already qualified him for the inheritance. You delivered him out of the domain of darkness and put him in the domain of light and truth, the beloved Son's kingdom. Reminding them that he was a slave, but you redeemed him with a purchase price. Through the shed blood of your Son, you redeemed him. Now he's a child of God. I want to tell you something. I don't believe it's possible to pray that prayer for anybody. Day after day after day, without the supernatural power of God working, whatever miracle is absolutely necessary to radically change their life. Now, what I've done is place in your head, I hope in your heart and in your spirit, the simple truth of a powerful tool, prayer, by which you can lift that prayer to God and you can alter the life of somebody today whose life needs to be changed, lest they keep on going, spending it, ultimately ending up on the junk heap. And written across their stone, if it were written honestly and truthfully, here lies the remains of a wasted life. It's your choice, my friend. It can either be a wasted life, or it can be a wonderful life. And you must make the choice.